in Savoy or at SubaruofChampaign.com.
It's 1240. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. Local food sales are a $1 billion industry and a growing one, according to a recent federal report. The past decade has brought an increase in the number of farmers markets and community gardens. The increase is felt here, too, as new farmers markets have started in North Champaign. And the area's oldest farmers market is also seeing an increase in vendors and consumers. CU Citizen Access reporter Pam Dempsey has this report.
It's Saturday morning at Urbana's Market at the Square, one of the largest farmers markets in Illinois. The market spans a portion of the parking lot of Lincoln Square Mall along Vine Street. Between 6,000 and 7,000 visitors browse among the dozens of vendors each weekend who peddle fresh produce grown in Illinois.
So there's 250, there's three. Last week seemed a little slow and steady.
John Chernis sells fresh produce that he grows on his farm. Clark McPhail is one of his regulars.
I've been buying stuff from John's market here, Blue Moon, for forever. And I always buy peas and green beans at this market over here.
With dozens of local farmers, the market offers more access to Illinois-grown food produce than neighboring grocery stores on any given Saturday between May and November.
Tonight may be a vegetarian night, so it may be beets, green beans, new potatoes.
Some of Clark McPhail's dinner comes from Blue Moon Farm about 12 miles away, an established organic farm that grows between 40 and 50 different crops. On a sunny day in May, Urbana's Market at the Square director, Lisa Braltz, pays a visit.
If you're buying produce, you're buying strawberries from somebody, then I have somehow verified, like the visit that we're doing today, that that item was grown by that farmer, so you can count on it being producer only.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Good
to see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
As part of today's visit, Lisa meets with John Chernis, owner of Blue Moon Farm. They tour the property and discuss the crops. Urbana's farmers market accepts only vendors within the state of Illinois. For John Chernis, local is relative.
The question is, to me, is what is your goal for buying that product? If it's flavor and taste, then wherever you need to go to get that specific flavor and taste. If it's about supporting your neighbor and building a stronger community, then it gets much closer.
For other markets, local may be limited to produce grown within an hour-long drive or as far away as two states.
I feel like the market's role, it's a gateway into local foods. And I also think that farmers markets are the only place anymore where farmers and eaters can have direct contact with each other.
That gateway was made easier for low-income families when Urbana's farmers market began accepting food stamp benefits a few years ago. Diana Bosterman learned about the farmers market from ads on TV. She learned about using her food stamp benefits from a social worker.
I like shopping at the farmers market and look at all the fabulous stuff they have over there. A lot of homemade things, the vegetables, the fruits.
Again, Clark McPhail.
Well, this is a great place to start. You can see the variety of things that are on offer, and the growers and the sellers, they're quite knowledgeable, and they can tell you how recently things were picked, how fresh they are. So, you know, it's a great place to be introduced to the marketplace.
For Illinois Public Media, I'm Pam Dempsey of CU Citizen Access.
The growing movement to produce food in central Illinois and make it available to all is the focus of a day of programming airing on WILL AM 580 and WILL TV tomorrow. For more information, visit will.illinois.edu. Our media engagement initiative on health and wellness is funded in part by a grant from the Lumpkin Family Foundation. Hot, dry weather is putting much of Illinois' corn and soybean crop in peril. To figure out what's behind the drought and what it'll take to get out of it, Illinois Public Radio's Brian Mackey spoke with Jim Angel, the Illinois state climatologist. He began by asking why the situation has gotten so dire.
This has been developing quite slowly, really since the first of the year. Every month this year has been below normal on precipitation and above normal on temperature. So you get that combination going, and we were starting to dry things out back in March. Whereas in a normal year, March is, I always call that the muddy month because we have so much mud. But, you know, this year we were kicking up dust in March.
Does the fact that we had such a dry winter compound the problem we're seeing this summer at all?
Yes, it is, because what it's done is it's depleted our stream flows and our soil moisture levels. They never really got a chance to fully recover from last summer, where we did have some areas that were struggling with drought. And so without that full recovery, you're already starting out behind as we move into the growing season. I would also say that now that we're kind of in the full-blown drought, it actually kind of can feed on itself. When we have such a large area being so dry, it means there's not much moisture getting back into the atmosphere. So the atmosphere is not as wet. So when we do get thunderstorms, the odds aren't that great. And if we get them, they're rather small.
People have begun asking the governor, what is the state doing? What is the state's plan? And obviously the state can step in with economic relief. But is there anything else that people should be doing at this time?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing with in a drought situation like this. There's not a whole lot you can do. I know some people have asked about cloud seeding, but you have to have the clouds to seed. So until we get more rainfall, there's not much we can do about it in that respect. Now, as far as conservation measures, that's probably some of those things are going to start kicking in. I've heard several places that have instituted burn bans, like in state parks, and voluntary water restrictions on watering your lawn and those kind of things. I think as it moves forward, some of those measures are going to become more and more drastic.
And are we past any sort of point of no return with our crops this year?
Yeah, I think talking to farmers and hearing the news on that, I think in many fields it's too late. I think it's a lot of that acreage that was rated as poor to very poor. Even if it started raining right now, it may not be enough to turn those crops around. Now, the fields that are, you know, in better shape, they could certainly benefit from the rains as we move forward. And kind of the conventional wisdom is that July is a critical month for corn and August is a critical month for soybeans. So it might be more hope for the soybean crop right now than the corn crop.
If we were looking for any sort of recovery, what would it take? I mean, do you measure it in inches?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to answer that. As far as from the agriculture point of view, if you talk about recovery of soil moisture and stream flow, our normal summertime rainfall is roughly an inch a week. So you would need an inch of rain per week from the rest of the summer just to kind of stay even. So that's just to not get worse. That's not really recovery at that point. To recover, we really need a very wet period of above normal precipitation for probably a month or so to fully recover from that. So, you know, kind of ballpark numbers, you probably looking at, 6 inches or so over a month period would probably break the drought. But, you know, looking at the forecast, I really don't see that coming anytime soon.
Illinois Public Radio's Brian Mackey speaking with Jim Angel, the Illinois State Climatologist.
Most of the fruits, vegetables, meat, and dairy products you buy at your local Illinois supermarket come from outside Illinois. That's partly because much of Illinois' rich farmland is dedicated to corn and soybean production. But efforts are underway to support farmers who want to grow and consumers who want to eat food from right here in Illinois. Join me, Kimberly Cronick, and guests for a discussion on CU Digging into Local Food tomorrow night at 8 on WILL-TV and simulcast on AM 580.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 18th of July, 2012. It was on this date, 1968, Intel was founded by Robert E. Moore and Robert Noyce. They were going to call it Moore Noyce, but that sounded too much like more noise. And so they called themselves NM Electronics, and then they settled on Integrated Electronics, or Intel. Their business plan, just 161 words long, about half a page. They said things like a variety of processes will be established. They started out manufacturing semiconductors and memory chips. And by 1970, they developed the first microprocessor, all the computing power of a room-sized computer housed on a tiny chip measured in millimeters. It's the birthday of Elizabeth Gilbert, Waterbury, Connecticut, 1969, went to New York University, studied political science. She wanted to be a writer, so she traveled the country. She took odd jobs, ranches and diners, bars, just listening to people, which she turned into a short story collection called Pilgrims, came out in 1997. She wrote about bartending on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, which inspired the film Coyote Ugly, published a novel, a biography. And then she had a wildly successful book in 2006, her memoir Eat, Pray, Love, about her travels after her divorce through Italy, India, Indonesia. It was made into a movie starring Julia Roberts. Her latest project, a reissue of a cookbook written by her great-grandmother, Margaret Yardley Potter, called At Home on the Range. It's the birthday of William Makepeace Thackeray, 1811, born in Calcutta, India. Father died when he was four. The boy was sent home to England, went to a series of unhappy boarding schools, got an inheritance, which he lost through gambling and bad investments. And when he was in his mid-30s, he wrote his masterpiece, Vanity Fair, a novel without a hero, published in monthly installments, 1847, 1848, about Amelia Sedley and Becky Sharp, who said, "I think I could be a good woman if I had $5,000 a year." And it's the birthday of Hunter S. Thompson, born Louisville, 1937, author of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and other books. Hunter S. Thompson, who said, "If I'd written the truth I knew for the past 10 years, about 600 people, including me, would be rotting in prison cells from Rio to Seattle today." Here's a poem for today by Richard Jones, the fence painter. "By the time I wake, the fence painter is ready to knock off for the day. The black lines of the fence fall away behind him, more evenly, more beautiful, for the touch of his brush. His forearms black with asphalt paint, as though part of the brush and bucket. He concentrates on the unfinished wood until it matches to his satisfaction an unblemished darkness he imagines. I like to start early, he says, before the sun gets too hot. I can't say whether he's happy, but I envy the fence painter the early morning hours and the peace of hard work.